Rabbosai, these cameras are rolling.
Okay, good evening, Rabbosai. Tonight's shir was precipitated by a shaila I received the Monday or Tuesday morning. A fellow came over to me after davening and said, my Rebbe's in Eretz Yisrael, and he goes to a certain kever, and whenever he comes, I go with him. And I want to know the parameters of what is the nature, what are we supposed to do when we go to a kever? Are you supposed to daven to Hashem? Do you daven to the Mason? Do you ask the Mason to do stuff for you? Do you ask the Mason to intercede on your behalf? Do you not talk to the Mason at all? What do you do? So I said, good question. I know there's a Mishnah Brura. I'll tell you the Mishnah Brura, but I think there's more than meets the eye. So I decided to look into it a little bit. I got to back to him a little bit that morning, and then I continued to work on the sugya. And Baruch Hashem, it's a very fascinating sugya with lots of sources, actually, primary sources. Forget about later sources, but there are lots of gemaras that actually relate to all kinds of different things. And this year is going to be quite nuanced, meaning there will be subtle distinctions between cases. But as you realize, when you're dealing with something as significant as something that could border on Avodah Zarah, you realize that the Avodah is going to be in the subtlety. It's not just going to be yes, no. It's going to be much more subtle than that. So just be aware of the subtleties as we begin our journey with the Sefer HaChassid. Sefer HaChassid is written by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. He's famous for Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. He quotes a story in Shmuel Beis. And Barzilai HaGiladi in Shmuel Beis tells the people that he wants to daven in his own city. He wants to die in his city. He doesn't want to die while he's on a journey. Why does he want to die in his own city? Why? Says the Sefer Hasidim, Ki hanoya yesh lemesim she'ohaveihem holchim al kivreihem u'mevakshim al nishmasam tova u'mativ elahem va'oso olam. It's a hana, it's a benefit, it's an advantage for the dead neshamos that their beloved relatives should come to their grave, should visit them, that the people should come to the graves and ask that the neshamos should receive an aliyah. So far, it sounds like it's one-sided, meaning the dead person benefits by having people come and ask that there should be an ilah to that neshama. Then he concludes, V'gam kishemevakshem mehem heim mispalim al hachayim. It sounds like, the words sound like they're saying, so too the people that go to petition at the kever will benefit when the mace davens for those people who are alive. And he gives the story that we all know, V'kalev ben yifuna, right, when the miraglim were sent, Pasuk says, V'yavo ad chevron, it should have said V'yavo u, in plural, that the miraglim came en masse to chevron. It says in singular, why did it say in singular? Because Rashi al-Torah points out, Kalev came by himself to daven for himself. He came to daven for himself. Where did he daven? At the Maharas HaMachpelah in Chevron, by Avraham Yitzchak Sarah and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah. So why did he go there? Who is he talking to? Presumably, the simple reading would be, is that he spoke to them and asked them to please protect him while he's going to go on the mission to Eretz Yisrael to spy. So it sounds from the Sefer Chassidim is seeing in that story of Kalev, I want you to know it was actually fine. The first time I saw this source, it didn't say the word Ben Yifuna, it said Kalev something or other. When I looked on the computer, it looked like I thought it was talking about Kalev.
Yeah.
It took me about 20 seconds to realize, because it didn't say Ben Yifuna. So it's that, no, it's not talking about a Kalev, it's talking about a
Kalev.
But that was my own mistake. So we have a proof from Kalev that he went to Davin, and it sounds like the Mesim, Davin on our behalf, if we ask them to. So that's the Sefer HaChassidim, and that's an Ashkenazi source, just as far as keeping Ashkenazi and Sephardi in their box. And let's see this halacha manifest, halacha lemaisa, in our own practice, our yearly practice, where the Shulchan Aruch talks about it. In Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah, the Shulchan Aruch talks about it. Here I have a quote from the Chai Adam, because Chai Adam says something more than the Shulchan Aruch. Erev Rosh Hashanah, we have long slichos. V'yesh nogin od leilech al hakvaros. Now, while you're going to the kever on Erev Rosh Hashanah, a lot of people have this minhag. If not Erev Rosh Hashanah, my parents always go during Elul, before Rosh Hashanah sometime. So says the Chai Adam, make sure And this line that we're about to read is a quote from Maharil. And this Maharil is quoted by every single posek. And the entire avoda in this sugya is to understand the following line. Every line is quoted in the by Mishnah Berurah. It's quoted in the Ber Heitev. It's quoted by the Chaye Adam. It's quoted by all the Achronim who deal with this. It's a question of how to understand this Maharil. Listen to the Maharil. V'yeh nizhar ma'od shelo yasim megamaso. What does the word megamaso mean? Your objective, your focus. Be very careful not to put your focus l'hispalo ulevakesh min ha-mesim. Don't be focusing and davening and asking of the dead people. Shekarov hadavar sheyeh bichlal. That might be an issur daraisa that is recorded as one of the issurim daraisa that involve black magic, necromancy. V'doresh el ha-mesim. That's one of those issurim daraisa. So if you talk to the mesim and you ask them for stuff, that would be an issur daraisa, or at least karov hadavar, to be a violation of v'doresh el ha-mesim. Ella shispalel la hakadosh baruch hu. Look at these four words. Sheyaseh chesed bizchus hatzadikim ha-mesim. This Maharil takes a needle and busts the balloon of most people who go to the kever. You're not talking to them. You're not focusing on them. You're asking Hashem, you're talking only to Hashem, and you're asking Hashem to do whatever you're asking Hashem to do. So why are you there? Bizchus, the people who are lying here, which is not, I think, what might happen often when people go to the kever. What's the risk? What happens if we do it other ways? Well, we're playing with fire. We're dealing with the potential isser of Doresh al HaMesim. We'll see that there might be some other violations. There might be some other violations besides Doresh al HaMesim. We're going to see some other things shortly. Look at the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Yoredeya. Now we're learning the halachas of going to visit a base, to visiting a kever. Yeah, I'm going to show you something that's totally unrelated. The halachas of kishuf. You want to know how to go to do black magic. You don't have to watch Harry Potter. You could learn the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Yoredeya, Simen Kufayin Tes. Source number three, Doresh al HaMesim. What is this issur daraisa called Doresh al HaMesim? Source number three, Zeh Shemar Iv Atzmo, somebody who starves himself, Vilon Beveis HaKvaros, and he sleeps in a Beis HaKever, in the cemetery, I ask you a question. If somebody goes to visit their mother, their grandmother, their great-grandmother, their Alter Zeide, their Rebbe, and at wherever kever that person is buried, are they sleeping there? Are they starving themselves so that a Ruach Tuma could overwhelm them? Absolutely not. So if that's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskins is the violation of Doresh al HaMesim, what do we have in front of us? That the Shulchan Aruch says, talking to dead people is not a violation of Doresh al HaMesim. You could talk to dead people all you want. You could spend day and night talking to all the dead people in all the Beis HaKvaros, all the cemeteries you want. That's not going to be Doresh al HaMesim if your intent is not to starve yourself and bring upon yourself a Ruach Tumah. So the concern that we raise that talking to, speaking to Mason might be Doresh al HaMesim, the Shulchan Aruch says, no, that's not the case. But, so is there an Indian to go to a cemetery? Is there not an Indian to go to the cemetery? Look at the Shach on that Siman in Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shach, he quotes a Maharach, I'm not sure that is, maybe the Arzarua, that people would make a neder to go to the Beis HaKvaros. Now if you think that that's not so common, I give you my word that there are hundreds, if not thousands of people who make such a neder when it comes to going to Uman, when it comes to going to the Rebbe Zohel, when it comes to going to Kever Rashbi. Hundreds, if not thousands of people who, when their times are tough, they mamish make a neder that if this works out for me, I'm going to go to pay my respects to whomever. So this Shaila came to the Maharach, and he says, "Ktsas l'yanira kadosh al mason." That doesn't sound so cool to me. It sounds a little bit, which we saw, that's not really the issue. V'habach kosav, the bach, which we'll see inside in a moment, don't worry about it. Don't get so nervous. Shekvar hechziku b'minhag zeh v'ein iser b'davar. People have a minhag to go to the Beis HaKvaros and to talk to the dead people there, and don't be so bothered by it. Let's see why. Look at the Bach. The Bach quotes this tshuva. It's not Maren Reb Chaim. Was not the Arzarua. It's Reb Chaim Paltiel, one of the Rishonim. He quotes this issue and he says, why do people go to the Beis HaKvaros? He says in the second line, Kalei, for example, Kalei Benifuna. He went to daven in the Beis HaKvaros, to Kalev, second line of source number 5. Kalev Shnish Tateach, he went to prostrate himself, HaKivrei Avos, Hispala L'sham, why did he go there? I mean, the simple reason why we'd all expect to find is that he went to the Maras Machpelah to ask the Avos to daven for him. That's what I would say. Let's see if that's what he says. Hispala L'sham, look at these 5 words. B'makom Kedusha, Kedei. It's just like going to the Kotel HaMaravi. It's just like, instead of davening at home, you daven in a shul, so your tefillos will be more answered. You go to the Beis HaKvaros. Kalev went to Chevron, went to Maras HaMachpelah, not to ask anybody who's buried there hundreds of years prior, but rather only so that he could daven in a Makom Kedusha, so that his tefillah will be more answered. Where do we see the concept that certain places carry with it a better chance of being tefillos being answered? K'dechsib Avram by Avram Avinu. We see by Avram Avinu that Hamakom Gorin, that tefillos could be answered more in a certain place than other places.
Isn't there a huge difference between the Makom HaMikdash and the Makom HaBeisim?
Conceptually, clearly, comment, yeah.
But the question is, was he actually there? Actually, right on the Kever is Makom Tuma. You can't say at the same time it's a Makom Kedusha.
Keep in mind, the opposite of Tumah is what?
There has to be some distance.
What's the opposite of Tumah?
Tahara,
not Kedusha. You're right, hadn't fit Kedusha with Tumah and Tahara, that's a good question. You can't go to a Makom Kadosh either if you're Tumah.
But you're
saying a good point. I don't mean it's really like the Beis HaMikdash, but in the same way people go to daven at the Kotel because the tefillah is more effective there, that's what the Bach is saying, is the point of going to a Beis HaKvaros, not to talk to the people there, but to be in the presence of people, your family, whatever it is, so that it's a Makom Kadosh, my tefillah will be answered. You don't like the word Kadosh, use a different word. It's a special place. And therefore the tefillah will be more answered there. He says, but that's not what people do. I know a lot of women, I really have no idea why they go to Beis HaKvaros. If they don't realize that they're going only because the tefillah is more effective there. So you know what I do when they make a neder to go to so-and-so's ohel? You know what I do? Says the Bach. V'ani ragel iftoach len b'charata v'yatir lehen haneder. I have a practice of being matir neder for anybody who promises that he accepts upon himself that he's going to go to visit a kever shel tzaddikim. This is a gigantic industry. In Eretz Yisrael, there are millions and millions of dollars that are spent going to kivrei tzaddikim. I bought tefillin for my son. Menachem is becoming bar mitzvah in 4 months. And I called, I had a guy who I bought the batim from. I got an excellent reference that he's a guy who you should buy the batim from. He's incredibly trustworthy. I met him. I was taken with his tzaddik type of personality, and I called him last week. He said, "Oh, it's good you called me now, because you know last week, right after Tisha B'Av, I was in Europe for Kivrei Tzaddikim. There are thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands, probably 100,000 people a year who go to Kivrei Tzaddikim, who travel to Europe to go to Kivrei Tzaddikim. I'd say at least 100,000 people." And says the Bach, "You know what I would do? I would be matir all of their nethers, and I would say, take the money that you're going to this Kivrei Tzaddikim, v'yitein l'tzedaka mashe yamotz. Whatever amount you're going to pay to go to the Kivrei Tzaddikim and to pay for your hotel and for the food and for the wagon, I would be matir neder and let them just give that money to tzedaka." But look at the last word. Mihu, the underlying line, kvar hechziku b'minhag zeh v'ein mocha. This is the minhag that people do. Nobody has protested it. And apparently there's a smach in the Zohar that he quotes to daven to the avos, or bischus the avos, and therefore nobody should knock out this minhag. So it sounds like we're not concerned so much with Dorish HaMesim. We're a little confused. The Bach isn't fond of it, but he says don't do it. But he says he's not going to knock out the minhag. The Chai Adam says it might be nisid deraisa. The Sefer Hasidim says it's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing that we. So we're very confused right now. So I'd like to try to dissect the issue. See what the sugyas are in Shas. We didn't really see any Gemaras yet. See what the sugyas are in Shas. And after we go through the sugyas in Shas, we'll see how they're understood by the poskim and hopefully come out with a way to organize the sugya for ourselves. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehyeh B'dvaro.
Amen.
I'd like to share with you. Shas Shul B'Tzel Chachma. B'Tzel Chachma was written by, I think, Rav Bezalel Stern, from the previous generation, wonderful sefer, Shas HaTshuvos. He quotes the Gemara in Sota Yudalet. Look at the third line. Gemara in Sota Yudalet tells a story. Why is it that Moshe's kever, the Torah says explicitly, where is Moshe's kever? Let's back up. Where is Aaron's kever? Har ha-har. Avos, we know where they are. Where is Moshe's kever? The Torah says explicitly that it's hidden. Why? Look at the Gemara in Sota, the third line of this Bitzachah. Mipnei manis tate kivro shel Moshe meinei basar v'adam. Why did Hashem hide Moshe's kever? Mipnei shegoliv yadu lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'asad l'higolos yisrael mi'artzam. Bnei Yisrael will at some point in the future go into Golos. And what might happen when they do? Shema yavo l'kvuraso. Right, he's buried outside of Eretz Yisrael, so it could be. They'll come to his kever, v'yischananu l'Moshe, and they'll plead with Moshe, v'yomru l'Moshe Rabbeinu, amol b'tfila ba'adeinu. Stand up, Moshe, and daven for us. And therefore, the Gemara Sota says, Hashem had to hide Moshe's kever so that they wouldn't do that. Concludes, that's the Gemara Sota. Says the B'Tzel Chachma, would B'nai Yisrael do that if it was usher to do? We're worried that B'nai Yisrael might do that, so therefore Hashem had to hide Moshe's kever so that Hashem would be able to keep us in Golos as long as he has to keep us. But if it's usher for us to do that, would the Gemara say, Hashem was worried that B'nai Yisrael would do an Isser? Hashem's not worried that B'nai Yisrael is going to do an Isser. It must be the fact that Hashem was worried that we would, if Moshe's Rabbeinu's kever was readily available, we might come and daven and ask Moshe to intercede on our behalf. So it sounds, says B'Tzel Chachma, Haresha mutter levakish meisa nifta shi yispalel ba'ado lefnei hamako. It's mutter to ask the dead person, Zaydi, my mama, my whatever it is, to ask the Zaydi, please daven for me. Because otherwise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have to say, I don't want B'nai Yisrael to be in a situation that they would do this. I mean, if it's us, they wouldn't do it. Why did Hashem hide the kever? Because Hashem felt that if they're in Golos, they should be in Golos, and didn't want them to have this opportunity to come to Kever of Moshe Rabbeinu. Which means if they would have been able to, they would have, and it would have been mutter. So he sees from this that it would be mutter to ask the dead to intercede. That's his raya, a very cute raya from a Gemara that I wasn't familiar with in Sota, to permit it. Okay. Let's look at it, let's skip to number 8. There's Gemara in Tainus. Gemara in Tainus talks about the procedure. I mentioned this in shul. Those of you who were in shul Wednesday night, I spoke about this between Mincha Ma'ariv. The Mishnah in Tainus describes the procedure for what happens if there's a famine, if there's a drought. So there's a whole series of tanesim that are established. First, only the tzaddikim fast, then regular people fast. Then they assemble in the streets, and they have a yom tefillah. They have a rally, the rabbi gives a musar shmuz, tells everybody to do tshuva, they daven, they have a special shmona esrei, they have a special kriyas haTorah, they lean vayechal, they have a haftorah, they say vidui, and then the Gemara says they go to the Beis HaKvaros. They walk out of shul and they go to the Beis HaKvaros. Ask the Gemara in Tainus, lama yotz in the Beis HaKvaros when there's a famine? So here we have a great story. This is as clear as the Gemara we're going to be able to find. Why should people go to a cemetery? Let's read what the Gemara says. Why should people go to a cemetery? Machlokas. Charamar, hare anu chashuvim lefanecha kemesim. The first opinion is nothing to do with davening, but it's a way of making ourselves humble and breaking ourselves so that we could stand before Hashem and daven with a broken heart for rain, and we say we go to a cemetery to remind ourselves, or to remind Hashem, ourselves, whatever it is, Hare anu chashuvim lefanecha kemesim. We're nothing. We're like dead. If this famine continues, we will be dead. You know, we have one foot in the grave. That's the first opinion. You don't see anything about davening. V'charamar kedei sheyevakshu aleinu mesim rachamim. An explicit Gemara that says that they would go to the kever. Why? So that the Mesim themselves can daven for us. Rabosai, what does it not say? on Sima Kedusha.
Doesn't mention Dominic Hashem.
That also. What else does it not mention?
That we're dominating for them.
It doesn't mention that we're speaking to them either. It doesn't say that we're asking them for anything. Right? If you read it superficially, oh, you see, we could ask for them for the things we need. No. It says, Kadesh Yivakshul Alem, that they will ask for us. So we're going to find the whole discussion is, what does this Gemara mean? Does it mean that they're going to ask for us, just we're just going to stand there and they'll ask for us? Or do we have to petition them? My dear whoever's in the grave, please be Mevakesh Rachma. And then, when we ask them, then of course they'll respond in kind, and then they will daven for us. Okay. Let's look at Tosus. Tosus says that this Gemara in Tainus, you and I have never seen a Tainus for rain. We've never seen that there was rain, no rain, and the rabbis said everybody has to fast, and we're going to lay in Vayachal, and we're going to all go pray to Vesak Varas. But there is something that, again, makes its way into Shulchan Aruch that perhaps some people do. I just came back from Eretz Yisrael with our group, and we always try, you have to book months in advance to get a group to go to Yad Vashem. You know when we go? This year we didn't, because we weren't there for Tisha B'Av. We go the first at 2 o'clock on Tisha B'Av. Because until, you know, Chatzos, it's, you know, it's Kinos. And what's the perfect activity to do on Tisha B'Av afternoon? What greater activity could there be than going to Yad Vashem? It's totally, you know, not being Mesiach Das from the Avelis. It's not what you can't learn anyway. You can't have any classes, or we could show videos, or we could. So go to Yad Vashem. It's the perfect thing. So, in the olden days, they did something pretty close to that. What would they do? I mean, not the olden days. This is what the Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchus. I'm sorry, look at what Tosas says in source number 9. Tosas in Taina says, Mikan nogem b'chol makom leilich beis hakvaros b'Tisha B'Av. There's a minhag, not to serve Rosh Hashanah, but also on Tisha B'Av, sharei Tisha B'Av have Tainas Tzibur, k'mo shal yo'os m'pnei ha'gishamim. Just like they made a Tainas Tzibur when there was no rain, Tisha B'Av for us is also equally a Tainus. So we should follow the parameters, the paradigm, that model of how to do the procedure of a Tainus day. And what's the procedure? To go to the Beis HaKvaros after you finish davening. Okay. So now, what are the... how is this davening? What are you doing in the Beis HaKvaros? Look at the Marsha. The Marsha over there says, he adds two words which lets us know his position. K'deshi Yivakshu Aleinu Mesim. Right? We go to the Beis HaKvaros so that the Mesim could daven for us to give us rain, that we should have rain. This is, he's referring to other midrash that we might be familiar with. We mentioned them in the Kinos, for example, that the avos daven for us. Okay, so still doesn't say what we do when we go there. Look at the Ritva, which I mentioned quickly on Wednesday night in Shul. Says Ritva, wait a second, why are they going to the Beis HaKfaros? Look what he says. Says something wild. Dover Pashat. I said this last night that the Salman Zadah didn't like it. Davar Pashat, the Ritva, here it is inside. She'en yitzias on the Beis HaKvaros lehis palosham. You're going to the cemetery to daven there? You're going to daven there? Asu lehis palo beveis HaKvaros. Mishum loig l'rash. That's a Gemara that we all know. You're right, you go to a funeral, you go to a cemetery, you stick in your tzitzis. Right? You're not allowed to learn. You're not allowed to daven either. So of course you can't be going, when the Gemara here said on the bottom of the previous page that when there was a Tainus, they would go to a cemetery so that the Mason could pray for them to give them rain, it doesn't mean that we should daven there. It can't mean, because you're not allowed to daven. Also there's Bala, because Lo Yiglarash. And further, he says the Ritva in source number 11, don't tell me they went to daven there, because the Mishnah in Tainus told me that they davened where on a fast day? Not in Shul, but in the city square. In the Rechava Shul Ir. Not in the Shul, and presumably they daven in the city square, so they didn't daven in the Beis HaKvaros either. Rather, look what he says, what the Gritha says. Elalach Nilibam. The reason they went to the Beis HaKvaros is to either, the first opinion was to become humble, like we mentioned earlier, oh, K'deshi Yivakshu HaMeisim Aleim Rachamim HaYoyotzim Sham, Achashe Hispalalu. They would daven in Shul, I'm sorry, in the city square. Then they would go to the Beis HaKvaros and sort of just being there would somehow, I don't really know how, maybe we'll see later, get the Mason to feel something for them or to be impressed with them that they just daven in Shul. And because they now go to the Beis HaKvaros, they don't say a word. They don't say a blasted word to the dead people. But the dead people will daven for them after they came out of wherever the Atzeres Tefillah was. Fine. That is the Ritva's understanding of the Gemara in Tainus, that people, on a, when there was no water, would fast and would go to the Beis HaKvaros. Kol Ben Yifu, well, let's see the Gemara inside in the next source, 13, and let's see what that story with Kalev would mean. Vayavo al Chevron, asks the Gemara, Vayavo, ooh, I underlined the ooh, Mibayilei. Why does it say only in singular that he came to Chevron? I thought all the Meraglim came to Chevron. Amarava, Melamish, Apirish, Kalev, Meatzes, Meraglim. Kalev separated himself from the rest of the Meraglim's council, Vaholach, Vinishtatech, Al Kivrei Avos. And he went to prostrate himself on Kivrei Avos. Look at these words. These words are very telling. Omar Lahen, Kalev said to Avraham, and to Sarah, and to Yitzchak, and to Rivka, and to Yaakov, and to Leah, Avosai, Bikshu Alai Rachamim. This is an explicit Gemara, that a person goes to a cemetery and speaks to the dead person and asks them, Bikshu alai rachamim. Please bet the Eibishter, as they say at funerals. Bet the Eibishter, please ask Hashem for rachamim, she'enatzel, I should be saved, me'atzas meraglim. You have an explicit Gemara, Rabbosai, explicit black on white. There's no way around this. You can't say that he didn't daven there, he just went there because of Makom Kadosh, right? That's what the Bach suggested. The Bach said that he went there and he just sort of wanted to be in a Makom Kadosh. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says explicit that he spoke to them, and it says the text of his tefillah, Avosai, please pray for me. Tosfos on that Gemara, on that story of Kalev, asks a very simple question. Tosfos asks, I don't understand what the point of Kalev going to the Avos' kever is. Do the Mesim know what's happening after they're dead? Does the Neshama know what's happening after it's dead? Asks Tosfos, V'amar b'brachas, Gemara b'brachas, David Ches, do Mesim lo yadin midi? They don't know anything. At least until they're, you know, they know what's happening until their kever is closed. They're aware of what happens at the funeral. They hear that. But after the kever is closed, Gemara Brachos will tell us, which we'll see in the next story, they don't hear anything. And seemingly, there should be no difference between Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, you know, Sarah, Rivka, and Leah, and anyone else. Once they're dead, they don't hear what's happening. Yesh Lomar, Dal Yidei Tefillah, Shezeh Mispalel, Modin Lahem, Shekach Nispalel. That when somebody davens, then they are informed, they don't hear the davener. They don't hear the davener, Tosfos says. You go to Beis Kvaros and you daven to the Avos, they don't hear it. You go to Maras HaMachpelah, they're not listening to you. But they are informed that you daven to them. That's a very interesting, there's a little bit of a subtle point that Tosfos suggests. Fine. Where do we find this discussion of the fact that are Mesim aware of what happens after the dead, or do you go to Beis HaKvaros? Do they know it? Like if you're wearing a plaid shirt or a checkered shirt, does the person that you're going to visit, do you have to dress nicely? Your mother said, I don't want you to wear, you know, I only like when you wear shirts that match. Do you have to wear your mother's favorite colors when you go to visit her in the kever? Does she know? She knows what you're wearing? Does she know what you're saying? Let's see. Rabbi Chia, so Gemara and Brachas, first it talks about Loeg Larosh, Yinad Al-Davin, within Dalet Amos of a Kever. And then the Gemara goes and tells us the following story. This is source number 15. Gemara and Brachas, Daf Yud Ches. Rabbi Chia of Rabbi Yonah's son, we're walking along, Shakli V'Azle, they're walking along Beveis HaKvaros in a cemetery. Well, Rabbi Yonah's son forgot to put his tzitzis inside his tunic. Have a Kashadya, meaning it was falling on the ground, Techelta, the Techelas of Rabbi Yonasan. Amar Leil Rabbi Chia, he says to Rabbi Chia, quickly, Rabbi Chia says to him, lift it up, pick up your tzitzis, Kedei Shelo Yomru, so that the mason don't say, you know, don't like scoff one to another, Lemachar Ba'anet, tomorrow, you know, before you know it, they'll be with us, dead. V'achshu Mecharfen Asanu, and now they're poking fun at us, they're, you know, dragging their tzitzis, their Techelas, on top of our graves. So quickly, tuck in your tzitzis. Amar lei. Rabbi Yonasan responds, what are you worried about? Umi yade kulehai? Are you worried? Do you think they know anything? Do you think they know that my tchelis is dragging on their kever? V'haksiv, v'hamesim enam yodim u'uma. Sounds like a pasuk in Iyov, I'm not sure where it's from. Maybe Kohalas. The Mason don't know anything. So what are you worried about? Omar Lei, Reb Chiya says, no, you missed it. You don't know what that pasuk means. That pasuk, when it says that the Mason don't know anything, that's Mason means Rishayim. Rishayim don't know anything. It's nothing to do with Mason, dead people, not dead people. Okay, fine. That's one, so we have one clear source, at least, of discussion. This is the Gemara that was a discussion if they're knowledgeable about what's happening. We saw one source that sounds as explicit as possible. Gemara in Sota talks about what Kalev said when he went to visit Maras Machpelah. I have a question for you. Is that Gemara that talks about what Kalev did halacha or agadata?
Agadata.
Clearly, Agadata. It's a story of what Kalev did. Do we have the right to paskin based on Agadata? Meaning? So, I don't like that those two words, but you're right. Right. Agadata, there's a Yerushalmi says that Ein lemeidim in Agadata. You don't paskin. Halacha is based on Agadata. So, we'll see. I think somebody makes that point, that even this source, which sounds as that it could be as strong, as invincible as we could ever find, even explicit Gemara, that Kalev went to Maras HaMachpelah. We have the text of his tefillah, and he said directly to the Mason, Avosai, not Hashem, to the Mason, please ask Hashem. It sounds as explicit as you could get. There are those who say even that's not a proof to it because it's an Agadata Gemara, Ein LeMeidim in Agadata. Okay, let's move on. Another case where we see that people addressed directly their dead relatives. Rabbi Mani Bray, Havuku Mitzarule de Benesia. The Beis Hanasi, the Nasi's family, was causing a lot of trouble to Rabbi Mani. So what did he do? Ishtatach, he prostrated himself al Kivra Davua, on his father's resting place, his father's kever. Omar Lein, he said, and you'll see who he's addressing, Abba Abba. He's clearly talking to his father. Honey Mitzarli, these guys are bothering me. So, you see clearly another case where somebody's going to the Beis HaKvaros, and who are they addressing? Who are they speaking to? They're speaking to Hashem, Bezchus. You remember we had that Maharil, I said that it's the basis for everything, it's quoted by everybody. You're going, you talk to Hashem, and the Zechus of the people buried there, Hashem, you should save me. No, we see that there's a direct communication. People are going to the Beis HaKvaros and davening to, or speaking to, the dead person himself. So these are.
You ever lie down on a kever?
Why not?
Who stands on a kever? Who lies down on a kever? It's the next week, in front of him. Cover the mace. Do that.
Does the mace know?
Well, if he doesn't know.
I don't know. I hear your question. I don't know the answer. Right, we usually don't step on the kvaros if we could avoid it. Yeah.
We don't lean on it. We don't put our
Maybe you're allowed to lean on it. If you're if you're speaking to the mace, maybe in that case it's not a chisern of, you know, if two people are speaking and they're hugging each other while they're speaking, so it's not a bizayon that they're. No, that's if you're hugging the kever kilo or you're speaking to the person and you're leaning on them. That's not. I don't think you could call that a bizayon hamace or a lack of kavod. To the contrary. That's, if anything, maybe a kavod. If
nobody
anything.
Has done that.
Mishtateach al kever. Okay, maybe it's not literal. Fine. No, I don't think we're going to say it's wrong. We're not going to say, you know, we're not going to say the Amoraim are wrong. I don't think we'll say that, but yeah, it's an interesting point. Okay. Now, I would like to sort of shift gears. We finished most of the primary sources. I'd like to shift gears and get into the one or two shots of tshuvas. So I don't know if we'll have time for everything tonight, but at least I want to share with you how the Maram Shik works through this sugya. Based on a number of the sources that we've seen, maybe he'll mention one or two other things, but he's going to finish off with a mahalach, a complicated mahalach in this whole discussion of what does it mean to go to Beis HaKvaros, who are you speaking to, and how does it work, that if you're speaking to Hashem, you're speaking to the Mason, and how to speak to the Mason work. Why should it work? So let's go through this Shas with Shuvas and the Maram Shik and Arachayim Simresh Tzadi Gimel in source number 18. First, he starts off by saying something that we have to realize. Guess what? This sugi is a gigantic machlokas. Kvar pligi ba'dosh lefanenu. And he just very quickly summarizes everything. The Bach, in Yoredeh, we saw the Bach, quotes the Marein Reb Chaim Paltiel, Shechai Shlzeh, who's worried that it might be terrible. Because of Kalev, and then when he described Kalev, how you remember how the Bach who said you're not allowed to speak to the dead people, you remember what he said about Kalev? Then why did Kalev go to Maras HaMachpelah only to go to Makom Kodesh, not to speak to them at all? Right. Kalev, that he was Jack Sheikh Kadesh Yispalo B'Makom Kodesh. But didn't we just read the Gemara? What did the Gemara say? Kalev went there and he said, Avosai, my dear forefathers, please ask Hashem to save me. So that's not like the Bach. The Bach said he just went there because he wanted to be in a holy place. No, about the Gemara sounds like he actually directly addressed the Avos themselves. And here he says, furthermore, you can't really bring proofs from there because of what I mentioned, that it's a story, it's Agada. Maybe we can't bring a proof from Agada. Okay. Go to the top of page number 3. Do you notice that we didn't bring up the story that is probably the most famous story of speaking to the Avos or speaking to somebody who's dead? Rachel Mavaka al Baneha. What's the Medrash that appears in numerous places in the Medrash? The Medrash says that, right, when Avuz Radan, Rav HaTabachim, he's the chief executioner, is going to exile Bnei Yisrael after the first Beis HaMikdash. He's going to take them out, Derech Efrasa, on the way out of Yerushalayim, past Beis Lechem, past Kever Rachel, and that's why Rachel was buried al HaDerech, so that she could intercede and she could daven, Rachel Mavaka al Baneha. We all know that story, right? What?
It doesn't say we should daven for her.
Exactly. It doesn't say we daven to her. It doesn't say we spoke to her. It just says that she comes out and davens for us.
Certain scholars say that that's not the location. That the location is actually north of Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah?
Rabbi Alan Schwartz has a whole...
Does that say, yeah? Okay. Could be. We have a very old tradition about this. It's very, very old. Could be. You know, these things are always possible. But it's not a modern thing. There are a lot of other traditions that are much more modern than Kever Rachel. Could be. So.
But isn't that right that Mason do know what's happening? The whole Rachel Mavaka Baneha?
Hang in there. I think his Mahalach will answer your point. Then he says, he has to deal with the question of maybe it's a problem of Dorei Shel HaMesim, the Maram Shik raises in the second paragraph. That which you might be worried about Dorei Shel HaMesim, Ze'eno, that's certainly not the case. Chada, first of all, Dorei Kaimel and Biyoredeya, that, this is a point we didn't see yet, Dekol She Dorei Shemin HaRuach Uneshama, Eino Bechlal. Dorei Shel HaMesim, that violation, again, we're not experts in Dorei Shel HaMesim, that's not our expertise, but Dorei Shel HaMesim is only when you're talking to the body. When you're talking to the Neshama, right, that the Salman Zah, who is talking, so we were mentioning last night, when you speak to the Neshama, that can't be a violation of Dorei Shel HaMesim. So we have two answers about Dorei Shel HaMesim. The Shulchan Aruch that we saw Paskin, it's only if you sleep there and starve yourself to try to be mamshich upon yourself, a ruach tumah. We're not doing that. Here he's adding another point, it's only Dorei Shel HaMesim if you talk to the dead body, if you talk to the Neshama, the Ruach. When we go to Bekever Rachel, no, but even if you talk to her, nobody's talking to the bones, you know, 90 feet underground. If anything, they're talking to the neshama of Rachel Imenu.
Where is neshama?
I don't know.
So why did you go there?
That's a good question. I figure, as you asked the question, I realized where you're going. That's a good point. It could be that the neshama somehow, I don't use the word float, okay. Neshama hangs around, at least some part of the neshama hangs around, at least either some of the time or some part of it, many different levels. This is not my expertise. I don't know any Kabbalah, but there are different levels of the neshama. There's a low level of neshama somehow hangs around, hovers around the kever. Could be. So you're trying to, but that you're raising a good point. Okay, then he says in the next paragraph, v'sheinis, and secondly, she'ein mevakshim mehem. When you go to a kever, you're not actually asking them to do stuff. Look at what he says. El ikr hatfila, I mean like the sixth line on page three. El ikr hatfila v'hadrisha v'habakasha, the primary petition is me'eis Hashem. Ela she'Hashem yisprach v'kamel tfilas v'bizchus ha'tzadikim ha'mevakshim gan kem rachmim. Those tzadikim, the avos, are davening, and Hashem answers our tefillahs in the zechus of the fact that the tzadikim are davening for us. That was a complicated point. But he says, we have a different concern that I'm very nervous about. Putting aside the concept of Dorei Shel HaMeisim, which is one Issa Doraisa, which we said, okay, shouldn't apply for two reasons, either because you're not talking to the body, you're talking to the Ruach and Neshama, or because you're not trying to starve yourself and be mamshech, a ruach tum upon yourself. But there is a concern of amash ani choshesh, eight lines down, mishum shedarshu, there's Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi tells us the concept of intermediaries. Lo ye Elohim achirim, zak the Yerushalmi, shelo first run line, shelo te korei, lo le Michael, velo le Gabriel. Sheasr la'asos emtza'i, it's prohibited for us to put an intermediary. We can't put an intermediary between us and God. Yes, Dr. Salman Zada, even when we're only asking them to intercede and to daven to Hashem on our behalf, we're not asking them to do anything. We're asking them to daven to Hashem to help us. He said even that should be a problem potentially, at least he's asking. He's going to have a solution in a minute. But he's asking that should be an intermediary. You're not asking Hashem to solve your problems. You're asking somebody, a middleman, a broker, an agent, to ask Hashem to solve your problems. That's an intermediary, and that should be a violation of lo yela chaylo himachirim. It's like davening to a malach, except instead of a malach, it's a dead relative, or one of the avos. Then he says, as he's about to start his brilliant mahalach. But before he does, he raises one other question. In general, why is it that when somebody's sick, they tell their friends, please daven for me? Why does somebody else's tefillos work for somebody else? Why do I say, I'm not doing well, I have a big final tomorrow, daven for me? You know, somebody's making a big decision, please daven for me. Somebody's about to, you know, broker a deal. He asks his family, he tells his wife, please. Why does that work? That's going to be the key that's going to bring us to this, the mahalach that he's now going to present. Let's now see the mahalach of the Maharam Shik and how do we explain davening in a Beis HaKvaros. Amnam, this is the punchline. Sheneshamos ha-meisim yodim me'olam hazeh ma'nasebo. They're aware of what's happening. Maybe they, if we tell them, they become aware. If people come when they're in trouble, al kivrei hameisim, second underlined line, lomar she'ein lahem yeshuim lo yirachmu aleihem min hashamayim. I'm in deep trouble. If Hashem doesn't save me, I'm in deep trouble. What happens? This is the punchline. Bivadei hameisim mitzta'arim tfei. The meisim feel your pain. They sense your pain. They experience a tsar. Vimkein asi shapir. Now everything makes sense. Why? Because you're not talking to them. You're not asking them. You're just experiencing pain in their presence as if it were. And then if they're experiencing pain, what happens automatically? Hashem says, Avram Avinu should experience pain. You go to Maras Machpelah to daven. Hashem loves Avram Avinu and Yitzchak and Sarah and Rivka and Leah. Hashem doesn't want them to be in pain. He wanted you to be in pain. So what happens when you go to the Beis HaKvaros? All of a sudden, guess who's in pain now? Avram Avinu is in pain? Because of my... somebody has a needs a shidduch. Now Avram Avinu has to be in pain? He has enough on his shoulders. He also has to be worried that my so-and-so doesn't have a shidduch. If Avram Avinu zuchus is great enough, that they shouldn't have to suffer this pain of being, of feeling that pain of my tzara. She'enem ru'i lo'ne ashitztaru. What's Hashem going to have to do? Hashem's going to have to be merachem for what reason? So that Avraham Avinu, when I'm visiting the Maras HaMachpelah, shouldn't have to suffer my pain. Oh my goodness gracious, that's a wild pshat. You see this Maram Shik's Chiddush Atzum? Yes, we might have heard this idea, as he's about to say. That is the idea of asking other people to daven for you, of asking a tzaddik. The Ramah says in Hilchas, when somebody's sick, you're supposed to go to the Chacham Shabair and tell him about the tzara. The poskim talk about maybe, what, this is one of the suggestions, what he's about to say. The next paragraph of the underlying line, according to this idea, we can understand the whole idea of davening for somebody else. What's the purpose of davening for somebody else? Because when you go to the tzaddik, the rebbe, the rabbi, your friend, and you say, I'm in pain, please daven for me, I'm in trouble. So what does he do? That person experiences, hopefully, ideally, should feel that pain. And if that person feels that pain, all of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch looks down and says, hey, I don't want to cause that tzaddik pain, I just wanted to cause this dodo head pain. Oh, if I'm causing tzaddik pain because dodo head has pain, I guess I have to take the dodo head's pain away so that it doesn't bother the tzaddik. And that's what happens when we go to Beis HaKfaras. And therefore, the point is not to talk to the Mason. The point is not even to talk to Hashem. It's just to be, and obviously to articulate, to let them know what's happening, not to ask them to do stuff, but rather to let them know the pain that we're in. And if we're in pain, they feel our pain. And because they feel our pain, Hashem doesn't want them to suffer. Hashem alleviates, hopefully, our tzaras. But the Maram Shik, if we stopped here, would basically be saying that when you go to Beis HaKvaros, you shouldn't be asking them for anything. You shouldn't be asking them to help you. You certainly shouldn't be asking them to help you. You should not even be asking them to ask Hashem on your behalf. You should just be letting them know your pain. They will feel your pain, and there's a chus, they don't deserve to be in pain. Hashem will hopefully alleviate your tzar.
It sounds like you shouldn't go.
What? Because you don't want to cause them pain?
Yeah.
Ah, I hear what you're saying, but that's how it's set up. Hashem set it up. That every mother wants to feel her child's pain. The worst thing you could do is if something's on your mind and you don't tell your mother, what?
Does it mean that the child should
come and
bring it over?
Ruchai Shulevitz talks about your question. Ruchai Shulevitz says that part of kibbutz, your mother wants to feel your pain. If something's on your mind and something that makes you pain, I think I saw it inside once.
So the tzaddik?
Yeah, 100%. Avraham Avinu is your father, right?
Uh huh.
Avraham Avinu is your father.
Okay,
he wants to feel your pain.
But it's your, like, you are not allowed to cause.
Apparently, it's set up that, oh, you're right, you shouldn't cause it. So therefore, let him feel the pain for a minute, so Hashem will quickly have to take it away from him. You're right.
In this case, it's be careful who you're davening next to. Because if the
Rebbeinu
Shlomo is happy with that person being in pain, then maybe it's the wrong place.
Klai Yisrael is good. We only know
Klai Yisrael
only has good people.
You shouldn't be saying this at the violence. You should be a male. We should cut that out.
According to what we just said, you're not allowed to say be a male. We're going to read two more lines. But you're right. Thank you for pointing that out. According to what we just said, it should be usher to say be a male. It's right? Every Levi that I've been at in the past year, they said that. So, but according to what we said, yeah, we could express our pain, we could say how wonderful the person is, we could say how sad we are, we could be miserable, and hopefully, b'schus that, Hashem will save us, but we shouldn't be talking to them. Oh. But look what the Maram Shik does in the next underlined part, in the last underlined part of page 18, of source number 18. Ulekach osilis pala aleihem, sheyam litzu tov ba'areinu. That's what Rabbi Goodman just said. You're not allowed to ask them to be a Melitz Tov, otherwise known as a Melitz Yosha. You can't say, please be a Melitz Yosha. You should be a Melitz Yosha. You should be a Melitz Yosha, right? You're not allowed to say that. But look what he does. Because by doing that, you know what you're giving them? You're making them into an intermediary. And that's not cool. That's very problematic. You're giving them power. But he says, but when you go daven at the Beis HaKfaros, that's not what you're doing. He's now going to take like a whole about face. When we go to Beis HaKvaros and ask them to daven for us, right? He just said he shouldn't do that. Now he said, but when we go to Beis HaKvaros and we ask them to daven for us, you're not giving them any enonosin emstroros bazeh. Ella, what you really mean to do is to cause them pain. You're not really asking them to daven for you. You're just talking to them to cause them pain. Elamodiyat tsaru lahem, so that they could join you in your pain. She yitzaru imo. And once they're bitzar with you, val yidei zeh bitzaram, yiyya teshua lo, it will be a salvation for him, shebizchusam, because in their zechus, and Hashem doesn't want to make them miserable. Val kein, look what he ends off, ein lanu makam le'asar tfilizu. He just did something so funny. He said it should be asr, 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 asr. And he says, but when you go to Beis HaKvaros, that's not really what you mean. Right? When you say, Avram, you go to Maras HaMachpel, you say, Avram, please daven, I should have a refuah shleima. That's not really what you mean. That's what I said, right? And that's also to say, what you really mean is, Avram Avinu, I'm in a lot of pain. I need a refuah shleima. I want you to feel that pain. And Hashem feels the pain and hopefully will make it go away. But he says, and therefore, that's really what you mean. That's really what you're doing when you do the basic. So continue. Go to the Beis HaKvaros, do whatever you used to do. You know, say, talk to your father, talk to your grandfather, talk to them as though you're talking. Ask them to daven for you. Because even when you're asking them to daven for you, right, that's us, that's intermediary. That's not really what you're doing. What you're really doing is you're not giving them anything significant. All you're really doing when you do that is telling them, Dad, Zaidi, Rebbe, Avraham Avinu, I'm in a lot of pain. I'm in a lot of pain. I'm really in a lot of pain. And you're letting them feel your pain. And that's all. And then Hashem does his thing. So we have something. Well, we'll finish here. Maybe we'll do the next part. The Minchas Loser, the Munkacher Rebbe, next week. He has a very, 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 very long tshuva. Maybe we'll see that next week. But what we come out with tonight is the Maram Shik's Mahalach is fascinating. Because basically he says, it's okay, to review. It's absolutely aser, presumably l'chol hadeos, to ask the mace to fix you. You can't say Avraham Avinu or Rebbe or whoever else it is, please give me your refuah shleima. That's, you know, akin to Avodah Zarah, that's not Avodah Zarah, lo yeh lohim achirim, that's off limits. What maybe you could do is ask them to daven on your behalf. That's what we were talking about this whole evening. It's machlokas, two sides of the coin. Maram Shik said, it's aser. You can't ask for them to intercede for your behalf. But he says, when you go to a kever, that's not really what you're doing. Even though you're saying those words, please be a male to Yosher. So Rabbi Goodman, when we, at a funeral, Rahman al-Islam, when we say the nifter should be a male to Yosher, we're not allowed to say those words. But we say it because that's not what we mean. We're not asking that person to be a male to Yosher. What we're trying to do is we're trying to inform the mace that's sitting there in the aron in front of the funeral parlor that we're in tzaris and we need a Yeshua, we need Mashiach to come, and because they feel that pain, hopefully in their zechus, Hashem will alleviate and taka, Hashem should take away all of our tzaris and send us Mashiach, and we should have the geula, and we should all be happy, and misa should be no longer, and we should have only simcha, b'vias HaMashiach, b'meira, b'yameinu, amen.
And then some houses there. How is it okay to do it?